Suddenly, you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened, and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The symptoms of old age, which had already developed in Dhritarashtra, were all one after another pointed out to him as warning that death is nearing very quickly, and still he was foolishly carefree about his future. The signs pointed out by Vidura in the body of Dhritarashtra were signs of apakshaya, or dwindling of the material body before the last stroke of death. The body is born, it develops, stays, creates other bodies, dwindles, and then vanishes. But foolish men want to make a permanent settlement of the perishable body and think that their estate, children, society, country, etc., will give them protection. With such foolish ideas, they become overtaken by such temporary engagements and forget altogether that they must give up this temporary body and take a new one, again to arrange for another term of society, friendship, and love, again to perish ultimately. They forget their permanent identity and become foolishly active for impermanent occupations, forgetting altogether their prime duty. Saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation. But they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society, and almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints, although they welcome show-bottle sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiment of Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. Translation once more. You have become blind from your very birth, and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened, and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada uses this, points out this word in Sanskrit, pakshaya, which means dwindling of the body, very elaborately being described here. Generally, development of our material bodies is broken down into six categories, birth, development, it stays, creates other bodies, dwindles, and vanishes. However, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a little bit more elaborate description about this. In chapter 22, which is described as enumeration of the elements of material creation. So there it breaks it down a little more. It gives nine different stages. Nisheka, impregnation, garbha, gestation, janmani, birth, balya, infancy, kamara, childhood, yavana, youth, Vaya Madhyam, middle age, Jara, old age, Mityu, and death. So, whether we break it down to six stages or you break it down into nine, the point is this is irreversible. It cannot be changed. All material bodies have these stages. Hold on. Sorry, I had to turn on the light. If someone foolishly thinks, materialistic persons like us, think that somehow or other we can save ourselves, our material bodies, then that conception of the self is very, very faulty. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna certifies he's a creator the designer. He says this material nature is kshara. We're just reading now in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So there's a series of questions that Arjuna asks Krishna. So one of the questions he asks is, what is this material nature? And he says, what is adibhutam? So Krishna says, the material nature, adibhutam kshara bhava. The nature, what it is constantly changing, kshara. It cannot be changed. It is not going to be, it cannot be adapted to not change. It is constantly changing. If you have a delicate piece of machinery, especially let's say like a computer, many times you'll find that there's tape over certain components, and on it says, do not remove or you will void the warranty. Because the instrument is so made that if you go in and try and mess with it, you'll simply make things worse. So similarly, when foolish men try to make a permanent settlement of this perishable body through a state, children, society, country, etc., which they think that are going to protect them, then they simply make the situation worse. There are examples that we have before us in modern days, just like we have Saddam Hussein, Ferdinand Marcos, remember him, the Shah of Iran a little farther back. These people, political leaders, were caught, seen carrying away literally semi-trucks full of money. Why? Because they want to, you know, steal from the citizens, and they want to do whatever it takes to hang on to their present situation, trying to make an impermanent situation permanent. I've taken a special interest in Pablo Escobar. I'd seen a very good documentary about him, and I read a little bit about him. He was the leader of the Medellin cartel in Colombia, as a Colombian drug lord. And he became so powerful, just like Hiranyakashipu, he actually wanted... Just money wasn't enough. He wanted to have political power so that everybody would love him. You see this with drug lords. They give away stuff all the time so everybody loves them. So he wanted to have political power. But then when he would, in a political scene, you know how politicians, they fight back and forth. So when someone opposed him in parliament in Colombia, he would just kill them. And then after that, you know, they threw him out. And anytime they tried to get a judge to prosecute him, he would kill that judge. And they went through a dozen judges, one after another, being killed. So, you know, finally they hunted the guy down with the help of the United States. But the point is how tenaciously we carry on in this material world to try and keep our position. Howard Hughes, Vanderbilt, Rockefeller, all these guys that had vast amounts of wealth, but yet, inevitable time could not be prevented from dwindling, apakshaya. That means apakshaya, the dwindling of the body, is a sign that death is approaching. And then we go through these different things. Like I said, it's kind of like Vidura is starting from the top of the head here. So he points out that, okay, your vision. You have been blind from birth, you know, whereas everybody else, you know, their vision gradually starts to fall apart. It was interesting for me. I had bad vision all my life, but about 20 years ago, I had this operation called radiokeratotomy where they make slits in your eyes. And for about 5 years there, I had perfect vision without glasses. But then after that, it just fell apart, and I went to the doctor, and I said, I thought this was permanent. He said, no, your eyes will change no matter what. And I said, well, so can I have another operation? He said, no, you can't have another operation. It's like if you do that again, they'll get infected. It's irreversible. And I was just so shocked. I thought that, you know, you just do a one-time deal, and no. Old age comes, and this was, you know, like 5 years after that, so it was like 15 years ago when I was a little bit younger. So the eyes fall apart, yeah, you become hard of hearing, your teeth start to fall apart. Interesting thing about teeth, you know, I was talking to a dentist once, and he told me that what happens with older people, they have, it's very important, they need to chew. You know, we're supposed to chew like 40 times before we swallow something. So with elephants, when they lose their teeth, they're finished. They will die because they can't chew anymore. And pretty much there's nothing that can be done. So whether we're talking about the eyes or talking about teeth or any of these other signs that are being given here, especially the digestion, just in Ayurveda, when your digestion starts to fail, that's the whole crux of life, you know, of health. When your digestion is going out, you're finished. All the other organs start to fall apart. So all of these things, this apakshaya, dwindling of the body, they are irreversible. And they are signs that death is approaching. And one should become very serious about these things, about solving the problems of life. Whereas foolish persons are carefree about their future, just as Srila Prabhupada very nicely says in the purport. Foolishly, Dhritarashtra was carefree about his future. It's just like if you have goats or sheep in the fields, they're eating. That's the only thing that they're concerned in. They're just absorbed in it practically 24 hours a day and all their waking time. However, they don't see the wolf of death approaching to devour them. Just like animals, cats and dogs. You'll never see a cat or a dog concerned about their future. They never ponder about things like, how shall I retire and where shall I put my securities? You know, is it better for stocks and bonds? They never think about these things. They're simply focused on eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So if the human being is also simply thinking about these things in a sophisticated way, he is no better than the cats and dogs because our bodies are falling apart, which should give us impetus to take up spiritual life, because death is approaching. This is one of the benefits of old age, is that we see this very, very clearly. Just one moment, please. In the verse that we just covered, verse 19, so what, four verses back, Krishna says, I'm sorry, Vidura says, pratikriya na vashyeha. Pratikriya means remedial measures. Everybody wants to find a solution to these problems because we want to hang on to our bodies. But Vidura says, pratikriya na yasyeha, there is no remediable measures in this world. Kutaschit karchit prabhu, my dear Prabhu, there is no means, either no means or there's no body that can do anything about it, because Saesha Bhagavan Kala, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes in the form of time. Sarve Shamna Samagata. He has arrived to devour all people. It can't be changed. So, the Lord is time. Nobody can stop him. It's just like our bodies are destined to destruction just as much as somebody who is interned for a certain amount of prison time. If he's on death row, it cannot be changed. What's the use of trying to enjoy ourselves if we're on death row? We should rather be preparing ourselves for the next life. So we're all on death row. It cannot be changed. There was a nice example that I always remember. I don't know if this is true or not, but probably. One time, Bhavananda Swami at the time, he said that he had read someplace that when the Titanic went down, right as it was slipping into the water, many of the people who were going to be drowned, the people that were on the boats, they saw them ripping off their clothes and having sex just like animals in front of everybody, drinking and just having a party before they went down. We are in a similar situation. We are in the Titanic of this material body. It cannot be stopped from being destroyed. But yet if we're trying to enjoy it, then we become overtaken by temporary engagements, and we forget our real goal of life. It's just like if we are on a journey, which is a very, very distant place, the way that to get to that distant place is by keeping our consciousness and our eyes focused on the goal. We always have to have our compass out and see that we're going in the right direction. Otherwise, we can very easily be diverted. This diversion, you can really be seen in modern days, just like, we have computers nowadays that have become more and more powerful and they have multitasking. So people themselves are starting, we're getting so used to using these machines that we also start being multitasking. There's studies that have been done, especially in schools and colleges, where professors are complaining that even in this lifetime, they've seen that years ago, students were much more focused on their studies, but now everybody comes in with a computer. And instead of listening to the lecture, they're all doing stuff on their computers. They're answering emails, going on Facebook, looking things up, completely distracted. Professors would say that it used to be that if somebody came into the class and they were, put their feet on the desk or something like that and were just completely unpolite, disrespectful to the teacher, then that would be the same thing like answering your emails or whatever in class. But then when they interview the students, they say, no, I can listen perfectly. It's so boring to listen to what he's saying. He's speaking so slow. So I'm answering emails and doing these things, but I can do it all at the same time. But when they're tested, their scores go way, way down. So what has been found by sociologists is they think that by multitasking, by diverting their attention, they're becoming more intelligent. That's universal. They all think that they're becoming more intelligent, but actually their attention is becoming splayed out and they can't focus on one thing. The mind is built in such a way that the more it can focus in on one task, the more it can do it completely. Whereas if it becomes splayed out, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, bahushaka, many-branched, we can't complete things. So we have one task. Our task is to go back home, back to Godhead. But if we become diverted with so many other things, then we won't be able to focus on our real goal of life. Also, this is seen in children. There was research done farther back, Sesame Street. All kids grow up with nowadays with television, watching cartoons, etc. So Sesame Street came about, and here's something for you to put your child in front of them. Oh, finally, at last, there's something educational. They teach them the ABCs and all kinds of nifty things, for preschool. But then what they found out is when children got to preschool, they were so conditioned to seeing things flash before their eyes and being entertained. When it came time to actually learn something that took concentration, they couldn't do it. So modern education, they're trying to adapt that by flashing things quickly before, entertaining instead of teaching children, because they're just losing their concentration. So in a similar way, we know what the goal of life is, to go back home, back to Godhead. This body is perishable. There's nothing we can do about it. We see the signs of death coming as our body falls apart. But if we become distracted by temporary things, then we'll be overcome by them and we'll forget our real goal of life. Srila Prabhupada says in the purports that saints and sages awaken the living entities, those that they preach to the real situation, even though that's difficult to hear. But foolish people don't want to hear this. They see saints and sages as parasites. Instead of working hard, there was a, let me see the time, I am going to stop within the next 5 minutes. There was a reporter from Newsweek, I believe it was. See, my memory is shortened. But anyway, from some big publication, I could tell from his voice he was an older man, and his memory was also dull, and his intelligence was skewed. He couldn't understand much about spiritual life. So he came with the mentality of drilling Srila Prabhupada for why his disciples were, why he was teaching them to withdraw from society and what they were doing that was helping to solve the problems of the world, like most religious institutions or social welfare organizations. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out to him in very simple examples that he still couldn't get, that this body is just like a car. And there's a driver in the car. But when people see that they're not giving gasoline to, they're trying to give gasoline to the driver, then the driver is just starving. You need to put gasoline in the car to make it move, but the point is, who is important? The driver is important or the car is important? And it was really difficult to get that. So then Srila Prabhupada finally, after speaking to him for at least a half hour, there's one point he wouldn't move off it, and still the fellow couldn't really catch on because he kept on asking questions about social welfare. So finally Srila Prabhupada said that it's just like you're in the prison house. Everybody is suffering. They're breaking bricks. But then when someone comes along and says, my dear inmates, this is not your real business. Your real business is outside in the free world. Stop breaking bricks. Then the inmates, the prisoners, they become envious of that person. They say, why are they not breaking bricks with us? They're escaping. How come they're not working hard like us? But the point is that your real business is not breaking bricks. So finally this reporter, he got it. And then he joked and he said he had to leave because he had to go break some more bricks. So similarly, we should not be a death row inmate trying to enjoy to the last minute breaking some more bricks. We should be concerning ourselves with the real business of life. Intelligent persons, they will see this even if it's hard to hear from sadhus and saints. They will not accept show bottle, so-called spiritualists who simply try to entice one to enjoy their senses. Rather, they'll speak the real truth, even if it's hard to hear, just like Vidura, so that intelligent persons can fix themselves on the goal of life without being diverted to temporary useless things that will simply overtake them. So I will stop at this time. It's about a quarter after the hour right now. Let me just try and go back and unmute free conferencing. Just 1 second. Let's see. Unmute. There we go. Okay, I unmuted free conferencing. So if anybody would like to add to make comments, please feel free. Am I
Ramananda ji, isn't there, you were talking about the futility to stop the aging process of the deterioration of the body. Don't I remember that on the heavenly planets, there are some situations or some planets where you don't, there is no old age, but when your time is up, you die. You remember that?
Yeah, that's amazing,
Anyway, that's maybe the only possibility to avoid it.
I like very much how Mother Urmila pointed out that Krishna fulfills all desires. As long as you follow Krishna's directions, then Krishna will fulfill your desires. Even if we desire to stay in this material world and enjoy, if we worship Krishna, if we do what he says, then we can enjoy in such a way that we can live for a very, very long time without experiencing old age. But that's the benefit for being on the Marcha-loka, on the middle planetary systems, is very easy to see the miseries of this material world. Heavenly planets, sometimes it becomes a little skewed because there's so much enjoyment up there. But at least we can preach to people that, in this realm. That death is approaching. It's harder to preach to those in the heavenly planets.
Yeah, they don't get the way this our old age is such a wonderful wake-up call. And every time we look in the mirror, it's like the wake-up call. Or look at our bodies and see them sagging and wrinkling and so on. It's just we just have this constant wake-up call reminder. Great, we're really fortunate to not be in the heavenly planets, or you don't have that constant reminder.
About 1 year ago, if you remember, there was big news. They hit headlines all of a sudden. Actually, this was an old thing, but it just like resurfaced. Some biologists, they were able to inspect mice with some sort of a disease, and it caused them to their bodies to fall apart quickly. And then they injected an enzyme, and then it seemed to reverse the poison that they just put on it. And then they hailed it that they found the enzyme to reverse the aging process. And that evidently had surfaced about 20 years earlier, but it turned out to give all the mice cancer. And it was the same way with this. It's just false promises. So when that newscast had come out, I was visiting my relatives, and my sister was so enthusiastic about this. And I just had to tell her, which is rare because they don't want to hear, but I just had to say that this is what's called a fool's paradise. And she was like shocked, because no, this is on the news. All the scientists are saying they reversed the aging process. Yeah, such foolishness.
Hi Krishna, this is Karlapati.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hi Krishna. Something I was thinking about over the last few days as we've been talking about death in the classes is that when we were younger, I know when I was a new devotee, I remember when the first devotee in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness left his body. And it was such a shock to everybody. They couldn't understand. I thought Krishna protected us. Do you remember when that happened? It was a devotee, what's her name? Oh boy, I remember the wife's name, sort of. I can't remember his name. Going on, either going to or coming back from a morning walk in LA in his vehicle, and he had a car accident, and he was in a coma. He was, hit, and he was in a coma. And I remember as a new devotee, still in college, going to visit him at the hospital because we did 24-hour kirtan for him. There was constantly somebody with him chanting to him. And but it was just a huge, huge shock. Nobody, we just couldn't believe it because we were so thinking.
Yeah, I guess that's.
I don't know what we were thinking. So that was one point. The other point was that we've been given this body to use in service. I mean, that's the human form of life, right? And yet, again, as younger devotees, we didn't see that. course we're suffering in our old age so much more because we abused it. Basically, just, you know, I know I did. 3 hours a night, maybe, was the most I got to sleep.
Okay.
But that was because I was enlivened to serve. I didn't care, you know, I didn't care if I died or I didn't die. It didn't matter. But you definitely, you know, if you don't take care of it, or if you don't use it, the old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. I think that's also... I've noticed that as we get older, we think, oh, I shouldn't be lifting this or that. I shouldn't be doing this or that. I'm an older person. And I have a very hard time even relating to that. I'm still very physically active, and my body still, I mean, actually, according to my chart, it's supposed to get better as I get older. I mean, because I nearly died 3 times as a young devotee. I mean, so it's really interesting, this whole, I mean, yes, obviously death is coming. And for me, when I look at the world, it's an impetus. I mean, all the suffering that's going on, I go, oh my God, I've got to become Krishna conscious now. And so I'm much more paying attention to it, but at the same time, it's an impetus for me to take care of my body better, to not try to enjoy it by eating fancy food and so many things, by very, very simply. And it becomes a very good servant of my experience. But if we try to enjoy it and burn it up, yeah, we're going to burn it up. You know what I'm saying? That excuse that we used to use, you know, oh, you're not your body, but you don't need to take care of it.
Yeah.
There's a fine line there. There's a real fine line. And a lot of our suffering, I think, it's not just old age. It's our abuse. It's our ignorance of how to take care of it so that we can use it in service and doing it with that consciousness. That it's so that we can serve, not so we can enjoy.
There's one devotee that I mentioned before. I know I was just so shocked because I used to know him years ago and in Detroit. And he got held up at gunpoint. He just went to the store, the local store. Some fellow came up, and it's a bad neighborhood, so he wanted to take the car. And the devotee's newborn child was in the back seat in one of those, you know, baby seats. So he wouldn't let him. So the fellow shot him, shot the devotee, and then he finally got his kid out, and then he took the car. But that shook his faith so much that he left Krishna consciousness, and now he's just not interested at all. So you got to be careful when our understanding that it's not the Krishna will protect our material body, but he'll protect us. Now, I guess that's a whole misunderstanding that we may have, you know, that Krishna's going to protect our material situation. The best thing may be that our material situation, our own body, may be in danger to fall apart. But Krishna is always going to protect us in the best way. And then I also agree with you is that, you know, sometimes we are short-sighted as far as abusing this body, because it's not ours. It's the temple of the Lord. So if we abuse it, then it can fall apart, and we shouldn't pamper it, go to the other extreme. At the same time, we shouldn't go over the extreme that we abuse it, because we will unnecessarily torture the super soul within, even for spiritual life. You know, this Martin Luther, he was, I think, in Germany, that part of the world. He was a monk, and he had an intense desire to have spiritual realization. And as a young monk, he used to do severe austerities. He would sleep on the cold stone floor. And, of course, you know, in Germany, they have very, very cold winters. And then sometimes he would go out and lay in the snow, and then the monks would find him in the morning and just have to drag him in, and he would really, really be suffering from that. It would take weeks to recover. And then later on, he complained in his old age how all of those austerities, he was trying to force God realization. And no matter what he did, he couldn't realize God. So that made him a very angry person. And then later on in old age, he was even more bitter because all the austerities that he performed and the tortures that he had perpetrated on his body actually made his body fall apart at the time. So we shouldn't unnecessarily torture this body, but rather we should utilize it in the best way for Krishna service. So not too much sense gratification and not too little. It's got to be the middle road. So I agree with what you're saying. Is there anything else? All right. Thank you, Prabhu, for your association, for your kind attention. And we look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. Mother Gundar, are you giving tomorrow? I forgot. Is it, I can't remember if it's Narvi or Mother Gundar giving tomorrow. Anyway, we'll see everybody here tomorrow morning or tonight for Bhagavad Gita class. So thank you. All glories.
Bye.
Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Bye, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Very well.
Thank you.
People.